broadcasting live from the West End Waltham in Boston, Massachusetts, for Vistage Executive Summit 2015. It's CEO exclusive. Now, here's your host, Soyini Koch.
Well, welcome to the Vistage Executive Summit 2015. We're broadcasting live from Boston, and I am delighted to have with me in this segment Susan Leger Ferraro, CEO of like a bunch of different things, but in particular, Imagine That, and very, very lauded and awarded business leader as well. Susan, why don't you tell us about the most recent award that you received? I know that you've been like, you're like one of the biggest women-owned companies in Boston. You're right. One of the best places to work. And then you received a certification. This is the B certification?
The B Corp, yes.
B Corp certification. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that B Corp certification, because I know it's very special. And like, how have you been able to maintain that track record of excellence across the multiple companies that you've started?
Yeah, sure, Tony, that's a great question. So the B Corp certification is actually a global certification that acknowledges organizations that work outstandingly in both the social and environmental areas in their organization. So both culturally and as well as policy and as well as actions. And so it's an assessment process and it's very detailed, and it was actually more challenging than I thought it was going to be. But we did really well and scored very high in all of the areas, and we're awarded the certification. So we're very proud of that. The way that we bring that line through all of our organizations is we have some very simplistic core cultural values about the way we communicate, the way we treat each other and our partners and the people that are our guests and employees and employers as well, and anybody else in the community that we're working with. So it's this kind of, you know, small but big way that we think about engaging with any of the companies, Imagine That, G3, the other ones we've talked about, and how it is that we have an excellent life as well as an excellent living.
You know, we're going to come to the market intelligence or market trends, because that's one of the focuses of CEO Exclusive, is bringing market trends to middle market CEOs. But I'm very curious about how you can be such a do-gooder and actually make
do-gooder
and make money. Most of the time you think that, do-gooders don't make a lot of money, you know, social workers and, you know, things like that. So yeah. Tell us about your thought process and how you've been able to kind of make profit by doing good.
Right, sure.
Because it's counterintuitive. Most people don't think that you can do that.
Right. Well, I think that you just brought one of those societal points, Soyini, that talks about, you know, why people think that you can't do that and do this at the same time. I think this next generation is coming to the table wanting more out of what it is that they do for their work and their living. And I was born like that, even though, you know, I am Generation X. I was born in the 60s, and I think I got a piece of the revolution when I came out, because I've always had this feeling. I started my first company when I was 17, and I was a little bit of a rebel and thought, no, I'm not going to college like the rest of my family did. And my father was not happy about this, but I did end up going eventually. And you know, realized that there was more out of life than just doing this thing that everybody else was doing. And the great part of it was I was blessed with the fact that financially they continued to grow. And it wasn't without hard work. And very early on, what I realized was that although I was in an organization in an industry that was impacting at-risk kids, which is what my first company, Little Sprouts, was about, and Imagine That is also, I realized that it was actually the grown-ups that was the answer to this and not the kids. And the development of the grown-ups as self-actualized human beings, them having the ability to understand themselves. We talk a lot about it in the industry and in general now as executive function. You hear that a lot, right? I hope you hear that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, those are all skills that are actually smart skills that are really actually tough. They traditionally call them soft skills. I refuse to use that term because it's not soft. These are hard things that we learn. And so my ability to focus on the human beings that were working in the companies was really the success of it. And the financial piece of it was because of the fact that I brought on the right people and I focused on training and developing them. I also surrounded myself very early on with people that did things really different than I did, because there were things that I wanted to do and things that I didn't want to do. And so I made sure that, you know, an operations person and a finance person and those things that weren't my sweet spot, that I had the talent to do that.
you know, you mentioned things that you had to do to get to where you are now. And from passion, a lot of times, it's born from a sacrifice, some sort of commitment. Tell us about a moment where it was a significant sacrifice for you to get to the next place, get to where you want to be, where you are now.
Well, I don't remember most of my 20s, if you want to say that, because I was working so much and raising two and then three young men that are now grown up adults themselves. I would say that the sacrifice was the amount of time that I was able to spend with my family on one hand, but the good thing was because I was in early education, my kids were with me, right? But I wasn't, with them because I was running the business. But in hindsight, I think now that was a big part. I had to work on weekends because I didn't have the kind of resources that I needed. So there was my work day was a lot longer than probably most people's. And so from just a family standpoint, I got divorced really young, right after I had my two kids, and I've just recently got reengaged 25 years later.
Congratulations.
Thanks. And I have this beautiful ring to show you.
It's lovely.
Lovely. Thank you, Jeffrey. And, I decided not to be in a relationship for that reason, right? Because I realized, well, I'm not that good at this. I was, because I was so young, and I realized the amount of time and commitment it was going to take for me to get the businesses the way that I needed them to. And so chose not to have this real, secure, fundamental relationship because of the fact that I had to grow the businesses, or chose to grow the businesses.
You had a relationship with the business.
Yeah, sure.
And tell us more about sort of your leadership style and maybe your relationship with those that work for you and support you in what you do.
I love them, actually. I am a very, I would say, authentic and intimate leader. I literally, you're seeing my COO walk out because she's laughing, but I kiss most of the people that work with me every day when I see them and hug them, and I tell them I love them. And yes, it makes some of them uncomfortable, but I feel like love in the workplace is something that's missing. And
that's a forbidden word. That's a four-letter word in the workplace.
You got it.
People use the F word before they use the L word.
Yeah, well, not in my story. I've been like this since I started that long ago, and it was really renegade and made people really uncomfortable, but I had this sense that it was the missing piece in leadership. It was the missing piece in people connecting and being authentic and being able to build this kind of trust that was going to grow the kind of business that they needed to grow. So that's about my leadership style.
So I'm going to go back to the question, the CEO exclusive question, which is, what are the trends in your industry that you think are of interest to other middle market CEOs?
Sure. There's two industries that I'd be talking about. One of them is in education. And what's so great about the trends right now is that the development of the adults, as I shared before, is really coming to fruition and rising to the top as the significant differentiator in organizations in education that are making the big differences, the kinds of charter schools that are really growing fast and the kinds of early education models. They're understanding that they have to invest in their people. And I love that because, this industry works their 12-hour days and then there's an hour before, an hour after. So they're really 14-hour days. And sometimes getting the time to train these people is hard to do, but they're being very creative about doing on-the-job coaching and mentoring during the day in the classrooms with the teachers and the educators and also the parents. Part of what Imagine That does is it's realized the significance of getting performance outcomes has to be inclusive of, the child, the teacher, and the families. And so really making sure that family engagement stays on the forefront in the public schools and private schools, everywhere from early ed up into higher ed, has become paramount right now.
And, as you think about like the education, because that's one of the skills gap, right? And training up people mm-hmm. has been a big theme of the day. If you're talking to a CEO, middle market CEO, there are 200 of them here today. Mm-hmm. What would you tell them as you think about the fact that you've developed a core competency in this, how they can think about filling that gap by training people?
So it's a great question, Serene. And what I'll tell you is the other company that I started, it's called G3. I have one website page on there, so I apologize for the fact that I did not prioritize putting this marketing materials together in the last year because I've been doing so much work. So part of, you know, the success of all of the companies I had was that we were able to draw down on what are known as workforce training funds in every state. And we've written over $40 million for for-profit companies, which people...
Is it a grant?
Well, this is what I'll tell you. Some states call it a grant and some states call it performance payouts. Mm-hmm. So it depends what state you're in, but technically it's all under workforce training. Any company that pays into unemployment in a state and is up to date on all their taxes and can get a certificate of good standing is eligible for these funds. And in fact, in the state of Massachusetts in 2009, our great governor, Patrick, who we love so much, actually tried to use some of the funds for something else, and someone brought them to court. They ended up settling, but it set precedent around the country that those funds are actually the taxpayers and the organizations that pay into them. And so, you know, every state has you know, difference. It depends how much it pays in. In Massachusetts, we have on average about $24 million a year in those funds. In California, they have about between $40,000 and $60,000 a year. Million. So in Massachusetts, $24 million, and in California, $40 to $60 million. And what that allows is it allows organizations to put together a training plan and to use those funds to train their people up. And so every year since 1998, all of the companies that I have led, I have drawn down on those funds. You know, sometimes they were bigger funds at a federal level and innovation funds, but these workforce training grants are kind of the best kept secret in every single state. So this new business that we started, G3, actually, we're now in 14 different states writing grants for companies so that they can get these funds anywhere from $50,000 to $250,000. California is actually up to $700,000 a year. And what's so amazing about these funds, Soini, is that not only are you getting funds, you don't pay taxes on them. You don't have to pay them back. You have to do what you say you're going to do with them as far as the training and report up. But other than that, they're free funds.
That sounds like it's almost too good to be true.
Sure, it does. Which is the reason that we named the company G3 stands for Golden Goose Group. And it's the goose that laid the golden egg. No one believes it. And when I sold my company twice in 2008 and then 2012. And when I did it, I owned at first, and I gave some of the stock to my COO and CEO at the time, at CFO, but I owned 100% of the stock. I had never given any away because I didn't have to take on VC money because I used the money from these grants to grow the growth of the company.
Mm, wow. And so G3 actually does this for other companies.
Exactly, right. Mm. So we started doing workforce development grant writing and designing with them. We also do training and development. So we've been designing courses. Our signature course is called The Economic Advantage of Conscious Leadership. And we've been working with Drs. Deepak Chopra and Drs. Rudy Tanzi in Boston and using their work on Superbrain, and their new book out is Supergene, and using their research and also from Gallup and from you know, other researchers out there to design this training to go into companies and help them understand why it makes so much sense to be a conscious leader.
Mm. Well, you're in a fertile environment here. We have 200 CEOs. We have an economist this morning, someone speaking on culture this afternoon, and a number of other speakers are going to help us sharpen the saw, as they say. what are some answers or what are some questions that you have that you're seeking today?
You know, it's funny. When we just came, you know, we wanted to sit out and have a meeting, but we ended up going in because, you know, I have this, you know, need to hear what other leaders are talking about. You know, it's interesting to hear about the economic trends that they're talking about and how to handle it. My questions are around, you know, how do you have a strategic execution plan around the development of your people? I think you were just talking to Philip about it and said to him, you know, how do you make these things happen? And that's the difference between a dream and an actual action item, is the fact that you have to have a plan. You have to know that this is how we're going to do it. And so often the development of our human beings, it's kind of like, yeah, well, we do these trainings a couple of years and yeah, we do like one day, you know, offsite and all that, but there's no design around it and they handle it too casually. I'm interested to see, especially the parts on culture, you know, if they're making those recommendations around putting a real plan together around it.
Great. Well, thank you so much for taking a few minutes out of your day to be here. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And congratulations on your awards and your recent engagement or marriage.
Thanks for inviting us out. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
This show is brought to you by Annona Enterprises, where strategy is your access to money and performance. Learn more at annonaenterprises.com.